Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Don't compromise your internal convictions when faced with external pressures. That's the first lesson. Here is the second now. Trust God, who is able to do the impossible. Lesson one, don't compromise your internal convictions when faced with external pressures. Secondly, trust God, who is able to do the impossible.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Do you realize that taking a stand for God may have consequences? You might be seen differently, lose friends, or it might impact your chances for a promotion. But what if it meant losing your life? Today, we're learning from three godly young men who refused to compromise their faith even in the face of death. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message, Our God is Able.
Today, we come to one of the most famous and inspiring stories in the book of Daniel. It's very easy to compromise, isn't it? When the majority is against it, we can find it difficult to take a stand for what we know is right. And before we know it, we've taken one step, then another, and then another down the slippery slope of compromise. In the book of Daniel, these three young Israelis in Babylon are faced with a tough decision. If they don't bow to a huge image of King Nebuchadnezzar, they will die. Yet the commandments state that you shall have no other God before the one true God. You shall not bow down to idols. What will they do? How will they handle this situation? Listen as we look at Daniel chapter 3.
Daniel 3 is one of the most thrilling and most amazing stories in all of the Bible. As a model of courage and a model of faith, a model of trust in God, this story is breathtaking. Faced with a decision to either bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image of gold or to be thrown into a fiery furnace, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow. Faced with a choice to bow or to burn, they choose to burn. Rather than bow to the image of a pagan king, they choose to bow to the King of Kings, who is sovereign over the whole universe. Because those who are made in the image of God must never bow to any man-made image. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to march to the beat of a different drum. We are called to be lights penetrating the moral darkness and salt permeating the corruption, to stand apart from the compromise and mediocrity of so much of cultural Christianity, to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ who are displaying and proclaiming Christ. Our text this morning is Daniel chapter 3. We're going to read the first 12 verses of Daniel 3 and learn our first lesson. Here is the word of God to us then. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 6 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent together the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you're to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all of the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Fascinating story, isn't it? We want to learn the first lesson this morning, and it is such an important one. Don't compromise your internal convictions when faced with external pressures. Now, that is an important principle that we see from this passage, but also throughout the scripture. We are all faced with external pressures. We're all faced to do things that we know are wrong. And so often we yield to these external pressures from other people, from our family, from society, from what is normal, we are told. But we'll learn this morning, we are never, never to compromise our internal convictions when faced with external pressure. When you're faced with doing something that you know is wrong, don't do it, irrespective of the pressure on you to conform. Now, what's the situation here in Daniel 3? Nebuchadnezzar, as we've read, builds this huge image and commands everyone to worship it. Got a bit of an ego problem, doesn't he, Nebuchadnezzar? In Daniel 2, verse 38, Nebuchadnezzar, you will remember, in the vision that Daniel interprets, Nebuchadnezzar is described as the head of gold of the statue. Now, in the next chapter, Nebuchadnezzar builds an image entirely of gold. Nebuchadnezzar had been told by Daniel in Daniel 2 that one day Babylon would fall. It seems as if Nebuchadnezzar is now building this image in defiance of Daniel's prophecy and Daniel's God. In effect, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, my kingdom shall stand forever. And all of you, all of the peoples, all of the languages, everyone in the world must bow down and worship my image. There is no iron or clay in me. I'm strong. I'm going to last. I'm the head of gold. I will never fall. He symbolizes the pride of Babylon. Now, as we see in verse 1, this was a huge image, 60 cubits high by 6 cubits wide. That's 90 feet high by 9 feet wide. The Babylonian system of measurement was based on 6. We have a decimal system based on 10. Babylon had a system based on 6. In the Bible, 7 is the number of perfection. It's God's number, as it were. 6 is the number of man. Nebuchadnezzar's favorite number is 6. He is, in fact, a precursor of the Antichrist, who, according to Revelation 13, verse 18, who is going to have, in the last days, a number. And if you remember the number of the Antichrist? 666. Nebuchadnezzar, as it were, is in the spirit of the Antichrist, and his favorite number is 6. And he commands everyone to bow down. His command is for worship, but it's also for political advantage. But it is religious as well. He's saying, my God is the highest, the most powerful God in the universe. We are victorious over all of our enemies. All of you, whoever you are, native Babylonians, but those who are captive, you must all bow down and submit to my God. Nebuchadnezzar is going to be the center of worship. It's also a political act. He also wants everyone to recognize that he is the supreme king and lord of all. It's his way of unifying the Babylonian Empire. Irrespective of your language, irrespective of your nationality, everyone must bow to his image, verse 7. As soon as all of the peoples, notice that, heard the sound of these various instruments, all the peoples, nations, and languages fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. In fact, to create the right environment, he brings out the Babylonian Symphony Orchestra, including, incidentally, bagpipes, which probably terrorized the people. It was all there. And everyone bows down. Can you imagine the pressure? Here is the king, the superpower of the day, and his command must be obeyed by all peoples, no exceptions. But three men defy the king's command and refuse to bow, verse 12. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, O king, these Jewish men, pay no attention to you. They disregard you, king, and they don't serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Can you imagine the pressure on these men to conform? Far away from home, in a pagan culture, commanded by the most powerful man in the universe, facing a huge, impressive image, 90 feet high, listening to that powerful music, everyone around them, all nationalities, all of the peoples, bowing down. No mention, incidentally, is made of Daniel. Perhaps he's out of town on business, we just don't know. But they are surrounded by the atmosphere of Babylon, the political pressure, the religious pressure, the social pressure on these men was almost unbearable. Because what is going to happen to those who do not bow down? They're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. But these three men refuse to bow. In the face of tremendous external pressure, they do not compromise their internal convictions. That's what makes them different. This is what makes them great men of God. This is what makes them great men of faith. They know this principle. We will never, ever compromise what we know, what is right, irrespective of the pressure on us to get us to do what is wrong. We will not compromise our internal convictions when faced with external pressure. Now, what gave them such strong internal convictions? They would have memorized, as good Jewish boys brought up in Israel, they would have memorized the Ten Commandments. The first two commandments of the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments is that we never, ever worship an idol. That is contrary to the Word of God. Those made in the image of God must never, ever bow to a man-made image. For these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, compromise is impossible. Don't you love these men? They must obey God rather than men. Even though they're told they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace, they do not bow. They don't compromise their internal convictions when faced with external pressure. Can you imagine if this had happened today? These three men would have been told today in our society, I think here in the United States, that the worship of Nebuchadnezzar's image is just as valid as worshiping their God. What is our great God today in our society? Tolerance. Tolerance. We bow at the idol of tolerance. Every individual's beliefs, values, lifestyle, and truth claims, we are told today, are equally valid. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're taking a stand for nothing. You're showing what narrow-minded bigots you are, how judgmental you are. Who are you to tell the king that it's wrong? You are showing no respect to the king. Oh, we know you've got your own little worship style. You can do that privately in your home, but do it out of sight. Why are you making such a fuss? You know, if you've got no internal convictions, you will bow to all and any external pressures. Daniel and his three men throughout the book of Daniel always show respect to the king. They always are very gracious and respectful as they interact with the king of Babylon and the officials of Babylon and the other kingdoms, but they never compromise their faith in the one true and living God. How about you? How about me? You say, well, I don't bow to any idols. Oh, really? That's nice to hear. In the New Testament, the Apostle John tells us to keep ourselves from idols. What do you love? In what are you trusting? An idol, a god in our life, is anything or anyone that drives our life, that sets our agenda, that drives our ambition, our energy. Anything in our life, anyone in our life, that to lose would mean that we would think life is just not worth living. That's an idol in your life. And we are certainly not exempt from idolatry today. Think of the love of money. I heard this little story during the week that this man Ken and his wife Edna went to the state fair every year. And every year Ken would say to his wife Edna, I'd like to ride in that helicopter. And Edna always replied, I know Ken, but the helicopter ride is $50 and $50 is $50. Every year they would go to the fair. He would admire the beautiful helicopter and say to his wife, Edna, I would like to go in the helicopter. And she would say, I know Ken, but it costs $50 and $50 is $50. One day he goes and he's 75 years old and he says to his wife, listen, this may be the last time. Can I not go in the helicopter this year? She says, no, it costs $50 and $50 is $50. But the pilot hears them arguing and he says to them, folks, I'll make you a deal. I'll take both of you for a ride, and if you can stay quiet and don't argue for the entire ride, and I don't hear one word from you, I won't charge you. But if I hear one word, I will charge you $50. They take off, and they go in the helicopter. The pilot does all kinds of fancy maneuvers. Not a word is heard. He tries his daredevil tricks over and over again, and still not a word. When they land, the pilot turns to Ken and says, wow, I did everything I could to get you to yell out, but you didn't. I'm very, very impressed. And Ken said, well, to tell you the truth, I almost did say something when Edna fell out. But as Edna says, $50 is $50. We laugh, but let's face it, how much are we driven by the $50? Money is surely one of our most common idols. We think we have more money, life would be worth living. When we don't have money, we think life is not worth living. Or think of the idol of pleasure, where all of your thoughts, all of your efforts are directed to that next thrill, whether that comes from alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever. Or what about the gods of power, of sport, of achievement, of beauty and so on? Even our family can become an idol. What external pressures in your life are such that threaten to compromise your faith? Peer pressure, students at school, college, you're more concerned with what your ungodly fellow students think of you when it comes to it than what God thinks. You're certainly more concerned about them than what your parents think. Or think of the idol of popularity, to fit in, for people to think how wonderful we are, to be seen to have a lot of friends. Think of greed, think of lust. Any of these idols that we're clinging to, which drive us, which control us, these men are telling us, never compromise your internal convictions when faced with external pressures. These three men don't. They resist the idolatry. They resist the external pressures to the point of death. In 1596, Andrew Melville in Scotland took a stand against King James the 6th of Scotland, who was to become King James, the 1st of England, the King James of the King James Bible. King James and the Stuart kings believed, as some of you know, in the divine right of kings, that the crown was supreme over everything, including the church. And Andrew Melville, this godly man and a great scholar, believing that King James was seeking to usurp the authority of God, said this, quote, "Sir, we will always humbly reverence your majesty in public, but since we have this occasion to be with your majesty in private, we must discharge your duty or else be traitors both to Christ and to you. Therefore, sir, at divers times I've told you, so now again I must tell you, there are two kings and two kingdoms in Scotland. There is King James, the Lord of the Commonwealth, and there is Christ Jesus, the King of the Church, whose subject King James the VI is, and of whose kingdom he's not a king, nor a lord, nor a head. We will yield to you your place and give you all due obedience, but again I say, you are not the head of the church. You cannot give us that eternal life that we seek for even in this world, and you cannot deprive us of it." Can you imagine speaking to a king and saying that? Can you imagine speaking to a prime minister or a president and talking like that? That thinking of Andrew Melville, of course, can I say, incidentally, was to have a tremendous impact on the founding documents of the United States, where it was said in the Constitution that the state and the government was not supreme over the church. And for his stand against the king, Andrew Melville was imprisoned in the Tower of London from 1607 to 1611, and then exiled to France for the rest of his life. A great example of not compromising our internal convictions when faced with external pressures. Do you think we need Andrew Melvilles today? Do you think we need people in our society to talk to our government, to talk to our politicians, to talk to our media, our educators, our intellectuals, and remind them of God's eternal truths, that we will not compromise what we know what is right, irrespective of all of the power of external pressure.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a lesson titled, Our God is Able. Today, we're continuing our in-depth study in the book of Daniel, and we're gaining practical insight into how to live faithfully as believers in a non-believing world. And to supplement this relevant series, we'd like to send you a free copy of John's brand new booklet titled, Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. This timely resource will help you explore and apply the teachings of Jesus to some of the most confusing issues of our culture today. Issues like divorce, transgenderism, and sexual identity. To make your own personal decisions and be able to interact with others with grace and truth, we need a firm understanding of God's Word. So request your free copy of Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, encouraging as many listeners as we can to trust and follow Jesus. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give today, visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list to stay in the loop on ministry updates and opportunities. You can also connect with us on social media. You'll find The Verdict on the major platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Look back over your life. How often have you compromised? Are there times when you wish you had taken a strong stand, but the noise of the crowd made you compromise? How we need followers of Jesus Christ to be strong and courageous, not harsh or loud-mouthed, but humbly taking a stand for God and His Word, as these three young men did. I know you won't want to miss the broadcast next time as we continue to look at this fascinating story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.